This is Abe Kiss recording for Maseches Sukkah Daf Yud Amid Aleph. So we were in the middle of discussion of Sukkah Tachas HaSukkah, and we had a statement of Rabbi Yirmiyah saying that there are some times where both could be kosher, sometimes both could be pasul, sometimes the top one could be kosher, the bottom one pasul, the bottom one kosher, the top one pasul, and it's going through the different variables. So I'm just going to pick it up from the last few words on Tes Amud Beis. Going over to Yudam and Aleph. So he says, Pa'amim shetachtona ksher v'al yona psula. Sometimes the bottom one will be kosher and the top one will be pasul. So how does that work out? So the Gemara says, Hey chidami, how is this so? Kigon shetachtona tzlasim rum mechamasa. If the bottom one has plenty of shade, meaning the, meaning the right amount of schach, well, yona chamasim ruv mitzilasa, and the top one does not have enough schach, it does not give enough shade, it's majority sun, v'kaimer tarbaya b'toch esrim, and they're both within 20 amos. So therefore, you get a little bit of schach from the top one, and you get enough schach on the bottom one, and you're fine, the bottom one is good, the top one is no good. Upa'am shel yona ksher v'tachtona psula, hechidami, what would be an example of the top one being kosher and the bottom one being pasul? Kigon, the tarbaya tzlasim ruv mechamasan, they could both be the appropriate amount of schach, i.e., majority of shade, v'kaim el yona b'toch esrim, as long as the top sukkah is within 20 amos, then the top one is going to be kosher, and that is why the bottom one is pasul, because that is a classic example of sukkah tachas ha-sukkah. That's not considered basukos teishvu shivas yamim, because it's implying it's only one sukkah. So Pshita, Gemara says, of course, that's what we're talking about the whole time. Of course, that would be an example of the top one being kosher and the bottom one being pasul. Tachtonik she'revel yonah psula, it's three chalesis. Of course, we didn't need to be told that example, but we wanted to be told the example where the bottom one is kosher and the top one is pasul. So mahu detema, I might have thought nigzer dilma mitzdarev schach pasul v'hadi schach kosher. Maybe we'd say, look, the top one, in the case where the bottom one is kosher, the top one is pasul, the top one is within 20 amos. But sometimes the top one is going to be too tall. And then he's going to be using the top, the schach on the above 20 amos is considered pasul. And he's going to be combining the schach pasul together with the schach kosher. And that would be no good. So therefore, kamash malan, that we don't make a gzera that the top one is always going to be problematic for the bottom one. And that, therefore, we see we needed to be told by Rabbi Yirmiyah that the bottom one can be kosher, even if the top one is pasul. We're not afraid that it's going to be sometimes it's going to be a problem. Now, kama yehe ben sukkah l'sukkah v'tei tachtona psula. How much distance does there need to be between the top and the bottom sukkah in order for it to be a classic example of sukkah tachas ha-sukkah? Again, just to reiterate, if both of the sukkahs are normal kosher sukkahs, then the top one is going to be kosher and the bottom one is going to be pasul. So how much distance has to exist between the top schach and the bottom schach for it to observe this psul? So Amar Rav Huna Tefach, right? It just has to be a tefach, meaning it doesn't have to be that the top one is a full kosher sukkah. It just has to be that there's a gap of one tefach in between the two sets of schach. Shekein matzino ba'ohalei tumah tefach. There is a rule that a tefach of airspace is enough to create a roof for the sake of tumah. We're going to talk more about that at the beginning of the second parak, Be'ezras Hashem. Detnan, as we have a Mishnah, tefach al tefach berum tefach mevias hatuma v'chotzeitz bifnei hatuma. So as long as there is a one tefach airspace that covers the area of one square tefach above the tuma itself, let's say there's a dead piece of a dead body, and it's immediately covered by a roof. That is not a chatzitza. It doesn't, if you're under that rooftop, it doesn't cause you to become tameh because you're under the same roof as the tuma. And if you're above it, it does not constitute a chatzitza for that tuma, unless there's a tefach of airspace that is between the dead body and the roof. Aval pachos mirum tefach, if it's less than a tefach, lo mevi velo chotzes, it doesn't do anything. Meaning, as I just said, it doesn't cause the tumah to fill up the room that the roof is on top of, and it doesn't create a boundary between the tumah and whatever is on top of that roof. V'Rav Chizda, so that's the first opinion. The first opinion is all you need between the two sets of schach is one tefach, and it's considered two sets of schach, and if they're both good, it's going to passel the lower schach. V'Rav Chizda, V'Rav Barar Huna Amri, Arba. It has to be four full tvachim, not just one. Shalom matzino makom chashuv pachos me arba. That we don't consider an area to be of any kind of significance unless it is at least four tvachim. We're going to deal with that also when it comes to the laws of sukkah, that the shear of schach pasul is four tvachim. We'll get back to that shortly. Shmuel amar asara, and Shmuel says a third opinion. It's ten tvachim. What are you talking about? One tefach, four tvachim. It's ten tvachim. Why, my time in the Shmuel, why is this? Keach shera, kach psula, because that is the minimum height of a sukkah. So therefore, the minimum height that is machshir the sukkah, that creates a kashra sukkah, that is the minimum height that can create a psul of sukkah, tachas a sukkah, machshir basara, psula basara. Just like we need ten tvachim to make it a kashra sukkah, so too, we need 10 tvachim to make it a sukkah tachas a sukkah. Okay, so now we're going to try to figure out what's going on here. Tanan, we have the following Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, Imein diyurin ba'elyona tachtorek shera. If no one is living in the top sukkah, then the bottom sukkah is going to be kosher. Right, this is in our Mishnah, which said the psul of sukkah tachas a sukkah. So the Gemara asks, how do we explain this idea? My ein diyurin. What does it mean no one lives there? Ilema diyurin mamish. If you just say that it's a practical statement, no one's actually living there. Atu diyurin kagarmi. What, we care? It's the psul or the hechsher is caused by somebody living there? No. It has nothing to do with that. Elalav, my ein diyurin. What does it mean no one's living there? Kol sheino re'uya ledira. If it's not fit for someone to live there, ve'echidami delogavo asara. And the example of that is it's not even 10 tvachim. Now, nowadays, we would not imagine someone could possibly live in a sukkah that's only 10 tvachim, but that's the shear that Chazal gave for the minimum amount. We went through where it comes from. So therefore, it's not considered ro'i ledira if it's less than 10 tvachim. Michlal, and that implies the Tanakama, that the original opinion in the Mishnah, savar afal pishein ro'i ledira psula, that even if the sukkah tachsa sukkah is no good for living, meaning it's less than 10 tvachim, it's still going to be a psul of sukkah tachas a sukkah. So that's a good raya that the majority opinion, not Rabbi Yehuda, holds that the psul of sukkah tachas a sukkah is even when it's less than, the top sukkah is less than 10 tvachim divided from the bottom sukkah. Ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came along, as we pointed out, Rav Dimi was originally from Eretz Yisrael. When he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he reported back a lot of halachas that were said in Eretz Yisrael. So Kiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came to Bavel, Amri b'Ma'arava, he quoted what they say in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, Im eina tachtona yechola lekabel karim uksasos shel elyona, if the roof of the bottom sukkah is not strong enough to withstand the weight, not just of the sukkah itself on top of it, but the minimal furniture you'd put in the bottom, in the top sukkah, meaning in this case says the mattress, the bedding of the top sukkah, tachtona kshera, then the bottom sukkah is kosher. Because, meaning, you can't possibly live in the top sukkah because you can't bring in the minimal amount of furniture you would need to live in the sukkah. Mechlal de Tanakama Savar Afal Pisha Einaru Ila Kabo Psula. So he says, does that mean to say that the Tanakama holds that even if you couldn't put like a table in there with a bed, you know, so you could sleep, it's still going to be, the top one is still going to be considered enough of a sukkah to passel the bottom one? It's hard to say. So the Gemara answers, Ika binayud yechol kabel alidei hadchak. So you can say the nafkamina between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda is that according to the Tanakama, if it could accept it alidei hadchak, which means with some great difficulty, that it would be wobbly, but still it would work. So then that's considered a psul of sukkah tachsa sukkah. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it has to really be strong enough to hold it up without wobbling, and it's a solid structure. Okay, so that would be the nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in that case of sukkah tachsa sukkah. Now we move on to a new topic, which is creating a hefsik between you and the schach inside your sukkah. So let's say, for example, we're going to get to some different cases where you would create a hefsik. Let's say, for example, you're in a sleeping bag in the sukkah and it's cold, so you pull the sleeping bag over your head. No one in the world thinks that that means that you're not sleeping under the schach anymore. So the Gemara is going to work with different possibilities of what's considered a hefsik. So says the Mishnah, Piris alea sadin mipnei achama. Oh, tachtel mipnei ha-nesher. So let's say you put a sheet underneath the schach mipnei achama because you wanted to keep out the sun. Now you can understand that sometimes the sun that's shining into a sukkah is intense, and even though you're getting the majority of your shade from the schach, still you don't like those rays of sunlight that go in between. So you spread out a sheet to block that. Or underneath it, you spread it underneath the schach to catch all of the... to catch all of the leaves and stuff that's falling down from the schach. Osha pires al gabe akinof psula. Or if you spread it out on top of a kinof, which is like a type of a poster bed. I don't know if that's the right term. It's like like those beds and plantations and stuff like that from the south, where like they have these fancy tents on top of the bed. So that would pass all the sukkah. But you can spread it on a different kind of tent on top of the bed. We'll describe the difference between the two tents as we go through the Gemara. So Amar Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda says, Lo shanu el bnei ha-nesher. It's only considered a problem if you spread it out there because you want to catch the leaves. Aval lena osuk shera. Let's say you spread out like a nice tie-dyed sheet because you want a fancy hippie sukkah. I don't know. So that's kosher. You're doing it so it will look nice. So pshita, of course, that's obviously it's good. Bnei ha-nesher, it's not. The Mishnah just said you did it for a specific reason, not just if you did it to make it look nice. So ma'u detema, hu adin dafila nos. I might have thought that it's even true if you just wanted the sukkah to look nicer. The fact that it said he did it to block the leaves, that's just the normal way you do it. Most people don't spread hippie tie-dyed sheets under their schach. So he says that the kamash malan. Therefore, Rav Chizda comes to teach us that no, nea nesher is pasul, and for a decoration, it's mutter. So lema misayel. Maybe we can bring a raya to Rav Chizda. It says sikhcha kehilchasav itra bekarmin of a sadinin amitzuyarin v'talab hena gozim shkedim afarsekim v'rimonim parchile anavim v'atara shel shibolin yeno shmanim slasos aser lesapek mehen. So I'm reading to the end of the Amun, and I'm just going to keep going to Yeram and Beis. Ad motzo yantav achron shel chag. Right? So what on earth is going on here? So we're saying about all kinds of different sukkah decorations that you might have. Now, we're a little limited. They didn't have like the tinsel stuff that people use nowadays. So what are we talking about? You put sikha kilch, so you put up the schach properly, and then you crowned it with krumin, sadina, mitsuyarn. You had all these nice sheets with the colors, right? And then you hung nuts and almonds and different apricots and pomegranates and different types of grapes and wheat kernels. And I don't know what else everything is over here. Different types of congealed wines and oils and flour. So the point, I don't know how those things constitute decorations, but that's what the Gemara says. So Aser Listapik Mehen means you're not allowed to get any benefit from them, even though they're all foods. You're not allowed to benefit from them in any way. Once they started off the Yontif as sukkah decorations, they have to be left to be sukkah decorations. And it's until Motzai Yontif Achron Shel Chag, until the entire Yontif is over. And then the Gemara just ends off him, Hisnale, and if you made a Tanai, if you made a condition on them, hakol lefi tanai, you have the right to make such a tanai, and you follow the tanai that it is permissible. So that should be a raya that it says you can spread out the sheets to make it look nice, and they count as sukkah decorations. So obviously it's mutter to do it. So that's a raya that Rav Chizda is correct. So the Gemara just rejects the raya, say nah, dilma min atzad. Maybe it's just you spread out the sheet on the side of the sukkah along the walls. It's still considered sukkah decorations. You can't get benefit from.